Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
With us, again, what we're looking at are things that the Bible tells us, particularly about government. Jesus in Matthew 16 said, "On this rock I will build my church." The Greek word there is ecclesia. And if you look at the word ecclesia, like in, let's say, Webster's Dictionary, and you go back to the original meaning, what it meant when Jesus used that phrase, when he spoke Matthew 16, 18, it's talking about the group of citizens, those who have the power, granted the right, to vote to determine the issues of the day. We miss that concept in our understanding of church today. But that's actually what Jesus was referring to when he said it. Now, there's a lot more to the church than that. But we have lost that concept, largely. We've lost it. And so what I want to do today is I want to start looking at some things regarding how God works. There's a verse that I'm going to be using for several different episodes here, Psalms 103, verse 7. And the concept in this verse is very important for us to grasp as we begin to move forward. Psalms 103, 7 says this: "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." He identifies two things: his ways and his acts or actions. In other words, the children of Israel knew what God did. They knew what he accomplished. And if you would, they understood the headline. But they didn't know his ways. Moses knew his ways. He made his ways known to Moses. And one of the things that we frequently do when we look at the Bible, we take the children of Israel approach. We look at God's actions. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it needs to go further as well. If that's all we do, then there's going to be a lot that we simply do not understand and do not see, and will actually cause us to not understand what God is doing in the world, why things are the way they are in the world. We will just miss it because we don't understand his ways. And then if God actually starts dealing with us about some things and we don't know his ways, then we can say no to something that's actually him. It's something he wants us to do, but since we don't know his ways, I don't think God would want me to do that. And at this point, I'm not talking about sin. Obviously, God doesn't want us to sin. But if you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis, and we'll read the 50th chapter and the 20th verse. Genesis 50, verse 20. Because as we read this, this is a statement from Joseph. Now, this is after he had, if you would, tested his brothers, and he has finally revealed himself to them. And he makes a very interesting statement. This verse has been preached on a lot in the church world, but there's some aspects of this that we need to understand if we're going to understand God's ecclesia principles, his principles for government, his principles for engaging in the culture. Now, in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says this: "But as for you," this is Joseph talking to his brothers, "you meant evil against me." In other words, they didn't have nothing in their mind about the plan of God when they sold him into slavery. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." In other words, in spite of them, God was working to create a situation. Now notice what Joseph says is the situation God was wanting to create. He says, but God meant it for good. And that's usually where people stop. God meant it for good. Oh, God turned it for good. Yeah, okay, good. That's not where the verse ends. Let's keep reading. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. And again, a lot of people go, yeah, God was wanting to save people alive, you know, and he used Joseph to do that. There's another phrase in there that we're missing and that we just really skip over. He says, to make it as it is today. You see, at this point, Joseph is number two in the nation of Egypt. The only one more powerful than Joseph in all of Egypt is Pharaoh. Now, if you would, let me put it this way. Since he said God wanted it the way it is today, that would mean that God wanted Joseph in the Egyptian government. Now, the reason he wanted him in the Egyptian government was so he could save people. There was a purpose for that. But again, understand this. God knowing that a famine was coming, God knowing that this would put the descendants of Abraham at risk. We know what was accomplished. We know the acts. Oh, well, Joseph interpreted the dream. He had a plan. But what was God's way? God's way of bringing that about was to put him into a government position. That was God's way of bringing it about. And you see, there is so much of this in the Bible that because we just kind of set that off to the side and we don't look for his ways, we miss it. And we're going to be talking over time here about some of these ways that God has worked. And you will be surprised how many times God's deliverer came through a government position. Yeah, let me say that again. You'll be surprised at how many times God's deliverer came through a government position. Joseph got put into a government position. In him being there, that enabled him to be Israel's deliverer as well as many other countries and especially the nation of Egypt. You see, because Joseph was in the government, he was able to manage the systems of the nation and direct them toward preserving people and nations. God couldn't have done that with him without putting him in the government. We've got to understand these connections. The only place he would have the ability to manage those systems would be through a government position. Well, let's take a break here and we'll be back after this message.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we're back. And again, what we're looking at is the way that God delivers people. And I'll make a statement that I said before. You will be surprised, and I hope you start paying attention to this. Many times, much more than you're probably thinking at this point, God sent deliverers through government positions. Today we're talking about Joseph. God placed Joseph. He manipulated, he worked him into the Egyptian government, and through that was a deliverer of Israel from the famine. Now, let's go back in the concept we were talking about. You see, government is ultimately the management of the systems of a nation. You know, if you take a business has different systems, and there are different people over those systems. Well, all of that has to, or should, correlate together, work together to a specific end. The same thing is ideally true of a government, that there are different systems within a government. There's the system of energy. There's the system of transportation. There's the system of taxes, unfortunately. There's so many different systems that there's the judicial system and so forth. The objective is for all of these systems to work toward a beneficial end. Now, if God was not able to get Joseph, let's just do a little what if here. If God was not able to get Joseph into that position in Egypt, and see, the way I would put it to you, the devil knew that God had a plan for Joseph. He didn't know exactly what it was because he's not all-knowing. But based on the dreams God was giving to Joseph, the devil stirred up his brothers to try to kill him. But God preserved him alive. The devil never forgot that, though. So when he gets in Egypt and is serving Potiphar, then the devil stirs up Potiphar's wife to get him thrown into prison to endeavor to stop the plan of God. But God continued to work. And even in the prison, God ends up giving the baker and the butler dreams. Now, unfortunately, the butler, he didn't take care of things as he said. Joseph, after he interpreted his dream, he said, "You remember me." Well, he didn't remember him until Pharaoh had this other dream. But at that point, because God had given the butler the dream, then he remembered Joseph and told it to Pharaoh. And Joseph, in spite of everything that people and the devil had done to try to keep Joseph from being in the position that God had for him, he still wound up there. God was able to work it out to put him into that position so that he could manage the systems. He could manage the production. He could manage the harvesting. He could manage, and if you look back at it, he was managing the taxation of the country at that point in time. And then he ended up managing the welfare system. He was over the distribution of the food. All of these things, God moved him into that place so that he could be managing those systems. Now, if he hadn't have been there, then at that point, then maybe Israel doesn't get saved. Maybe there are 7 years of plenty that just get eat up by 7 years of lack, and it would be something that would be talked about in history today, the great famine that wiped out so much of the world. But because God was able to move Joseph into a position of managing systems. You see, one of the things that we as Christians often miss, management of systems is one of the ways that God works. Systems have to be managed. God works through systems. Look at the first week of creation. The system of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The cloud system. The rain and it returning back. The planets, the animals. God developed these systems. The whole first week of creation was all about establishing systems. This is the way of God. But a lot of times, he made the moon, he made the stars. Yeah, he made it a system. Matter of fact, when he made it, he put it all in place so that there would be a lunar eclipse at the very moment that Jesus was crucified. He had the system pretty tight. He runs a good ship, let's put it that way. Any foul-ups in the system are usually man-made. The faulting of the system is usually when we get engaged. But see, God was able to get Joseph in there to manage those systems. Now, with this, let's think quickly about the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, Joseph was carrying out the will of God on the earth. God did not want that famine to destroy the descendants of Israel. He was able to get him in there. And so through Joseph's work, the will of God was accomplished. I have a question for you. Are we supposed to labor with God, or does he just work on his own? Well, I recall in the Bible, it says that we are co-laborers together with him. We're supposed to work with him. And I want you to take that and think about it. If God's will is going to come to pass in the earth, if God's will is going to come to pass in our nation, then God's people have to labor with him to get it there. What is it that God wants? And there's a lot in the Bible that God would want to be different in our nation right now. He's not going to do it without working with somebody. He would prefer to work with a lot of Josephs. Stay with us through this message.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, glad to have you back with us. Again, just very quickly, what we've been talking about, Psalms 103, verse 7 says, God made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. And again, one of the things that we need to do in our study of the Bible, yes, we need to understand his acts. We need to know what God did, but we also need to learn his ways. And we've been talking about the story of Joseph, how that God brought Joseph into Egypt for the purpose of ruling over the systems. He was right under Pharaoh. Genesis 50:20, Joseph said God wanted it as it is today. Everything leading up to that wasn't God, but the end result was the will of God. And that is that Joseph was managing the systems of Egypt. That is the way God brought deliverance. And I'll make this statement, I made it earlier, that if you pay attention as you read through your Bible, you will be surprised at how frequently God's deliverers came through government positions. And I would put it this way. They either were in a government position and brought deliverance, or he raised them up and brought deliverance, and they ended up in a government position. When you look at that, those two things, so many of God's people, and this isn't a calling for all of us. Believe me, it's not. But we've got to understand how God works. Most Christians today think that God works separate from government, that God works totally independent of government. God established human government. When Noah got off the ark, God instituted, and he told him, he said, basically, he put the ability, that's probably a better way to say that, it's not ability, but God gave humanity the right to execute justice and judgment. In so doing, he established human government. God established human government. Human government has a purpose. Human government ultimately is accountable to God, since it was something he created. See, the first thing God made after the natural creation, if you would, he made man. Then he made Eve. And in so doing, he made the home. He made the family. The next thing, if you would, that God made in that sense is he made human government. He made civil government. If you would, he made civil government before he made the church. Now, I'm not saying civil government's more important than the church. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying we don't think about that because largely we're not thinking of God's ways. We're thinking of his actions. And so in this, again, Joseph was placed in a position to manage the systems of Egypt. Now, when you look at our own nation, the major accomplishments of our nation have come when God's people decided that they needed to engage in order for the will of God to come to pass in our nation. If you look at the founding of this country, if you look at the things that took place prior to the Revolutionary War, and even during the Revolutionary War, and shortly thereafter, then you will see that people that loved God, see, there was 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and the overwhelming majority of them, somewhere between 60 and 65% of them, had theology degrees. That's amazing. They, even though only a couple of them were actually ministers, but others wanted to know the Bible well enough, they had enough desire to know it, that they got a theology degree. Would to God we had more politicians interested in what God thinks today. I think it would help us, as long as it was Bible and not religion. Now, with this, it was the stirring of faith in the hearts of people. Look at the Declaration of Independence. We believe that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator. Those are statements of faith. It amazes me today when people say, well, you know, we've got to have separation of church and state. I don't think that they believed it the way people are saying they believed it. Because if they believed it the way people are telling us today, they'd have never written that. They would have never written, we're created and are endowed by our Creator. They would have never said that. So you've got to understand we're kind of being sold a bill of goods. Matter of fact, just recently I was reading a copy of the interaction between Thomas Jefferson and the church, that once he was elected president, they were expressing some concerns and hopes of his administration in regard to their faith and their practice. And that's when Thomas Jefferson said there's a wall of separation. Now, the thing of it is people will reference that. But you see, when there's a wall of separation, it's separating two sides, not one. And from that standpoint, Jefferson, in that, he basically, in talking about that wall of separation, he said that, if you would, that matters, particularly of conscience, were off limits to government. That being able to live according to your own conscience, that was a wall of separation keeping the government out. Now, there's a wall of separation. The church can't, as far as organizationally, the church cannot dictate to the government. That wall of separation works both ways. But again, matters of conscience, what you believe. You know, one of the phrases that was used in the early days of our country is that we were a nation of sovereigns. In other words, there was not one man over another man. The government was really to deal with the interactions among men, not as an overlord, which is part of why it says we, the people of the United States. See, all of those things came from a biblical perspective. They came from a biblical perspective. And our nation, because again, I'll throw out one more very quickly. The Civil War, the removal of slavery from our nation came about when believers, when people of faith said, wait a minute, what we're doing as a country can't be pleasing God. This can't be right. There is no way that God would want this, nor will he bless it. And as a matter of fact, in order to avoid his judgment, we need to remove this sin from our nation. That is where the movement to end slavery started. It was when believers, in order to advance the will of God, decided that they needed to get involved in how the government runs its systems. Stay with us after this message.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area.
All right, we're back. I'm glad to have you with us today. And again, with this, I encourage you to take your Bible and look up the things that I'm talking about. I mean, obviously, when we're talking about, you know, Civil War and slavery and everything, you're not going to find that in your Bible as far as the history of that. But you will find things in the Bible that people saw that caused them to realize that needed to be removed. But you see, all of these things, the Bible has so much to say about government. I'll be honest with you, when I first started looking at this, and in a manner of speaking, it's amazing to me how sometimes you pray something and you don't really anticipate getting the type of answer that you get from God. But a number of years ago, probably 10 to 15 years ago, I was reading through the Old Testament, and there was just things I didn't understand. And I said, Father, I said, show me how you work among nations, not just work among believers and work in the church. You're the God of the whole earth. You're the God of all nations now. Show me how you work among the nations. And I thought it would be so obscure, in maybe a passage here and a passage there, but I have been totally shocked at how much of the Bible talks about that issue. But because we only look at the actions of God and not his ways, we miss them. We miss what he's saying about it. And we've got to understand his ways. And with that, there's some things that, again, I really want to do through these messages. There's a target, if you would. There is something you might go, well, you know, but what I do with all this? That's what I'm talking about. Number one, keep listening. Keep listening. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want God to change our nation, and let's put it this way, if you want God to improve our nation, 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Where do you get that faith? You get it from hearing what God says about that subject, because you can only have faith when you know the will of God. Keep listening. Invite others. We have to get believers enlightened to what God says in his word. When we do that, faith can arise in our hearts, and then as we act on it, it can begin to bring a renewal, a changing and improving of our nation. And secondly, with that, once you get enlightened, understand these things. Number two, get engaged. Now, that's going to be different for all of us, but get engaged on some level. The minimum is voting. The minimum is voting. Get engaged on some level. And as we go along through here, we will end up giving you ways that you can get engaged. You know, one of the ads that we have is for city elders. If you don't have one in your area, check it out. Make some calls. This is a way that you can begin to do something. Faith without works is dead. if our faith is going to overcome the world, it has to have some kind of action. So we have to engage on some level. And then thirdly, the third thing that we're wanting to do is we're wanting to encourage good people. The people that, if God stirs it in your heart to get involved in government, we want to assist. We want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if that's a place that God wants you to be, I'm trying to light that fire. I'm trying to fan that fire on the inside of you so that you'll take the step. And as we go along, there's going to be ways that we can hopefully be able to help people with that and be able to make a difference. Because the only thing necessary for darkness is to not have light. And you are the light of the world. And if we take the light out, why are we shocked that we have darkness? It's just common sense. We're going to have darkness unless the light comes into the room. Unless light comes into the areas, all we're going to have is darkness. And there will be those of you that God will be stirring to do something, to step out. And I understand that's probably going to be scary, but there are things that can be done. And this is something we want to encourage. And in the end, as we go along and get further down this path, we will want to do things to help people get to that spot. So pray, seek God, seek His word. Come along and join us.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.